Did you hear the one about why the Unitarian crossed the road? Thank you, Sue. To support the chicken in its search for its own path. Today we're getting very serious about being foolish. Today is one of those strange mixtures of days or weekends where a whole lot of really extraordinary holy days are converging. There's the Christian tradition, the Jewish tradition, the day of pranks, April 1st, that has a secular and dubious origin. So Passover began on Friday night. That is the recognition in the Jewish tradition of when the Jews were able to get out of the Roman slavery and to the freedom. So a journey from freedom, from slavery to freedom. And at the heart of the Christian calendar, the time when Jesus takes away all human sins through his death and then shows through his resurrection that death in the divine triumphs and that human souls die to life and are reborn in God. And then there's the pagan tradition, the spring equinox, which happened a few days ago, which is a time to celebrate the renewal of life and the rebirth of the natural world. And last night, I don't know if you could see it from where you were, was the second full moon of March, known as a blue moon, or in particular, the sap moon. The sap is rising in the trees. The world is coming back to life. Death, rebirth, renewal. Almost like a new year. Did you know that this time of year used to be considered the new year? Yeah. Makes a certain kind of logical sense when we experience the green shoots of the trees bringing itself back to life, when we see the frozen ground release the snowbells and the crocuses and the daffodils, when the pink and white cherry blossoms explode above our heads. It really does feel like a whole new world is reborn. So let us claim this time of rebirth, the rebirth of life, of beauty, the rebirth of our bodies as we absorb those sun rays and our senses quicken as we smell the perfume of the flowers, the loaminess of the earth. Let us reclaim the rebirth in our bodies as they breathe deeply the world around us. Can we have a big breath together? Yes. We're also going to claim this time of rebirth of our Unitarian identity. Woo! Watch out for that one. And what better way to do that than through humor and laughter? So how do you know you're a Unitarian? Thank you, Sue. You think the holy day of obligation is your turn to do coffee. And I think, David, you have an announcement to make around coffee, or is it Glenn? Yes, we need more people to feel obligated and share their obligation on the holy day of making coffee. How do you know you're a Unitarian? You get mail from committees you didn't even know you were on. So let's poke fun at ourselves for a moment or two or three and begin by inviting Sue to sing us a very special song called I'm the Very Model of a Modern Unitarian.
Now, before we start, this actually requires a chorus. You've all been accepted into the chorus. And when the chorus comes along, the words are going to be up there. So I will conduct you. And this is actually taken liberally from Gilbert and Sullivan. And if you're a true Gilbert and Sullivan chorus, you sing like this. Okay. All right, Ming Xuan, let's give it a try. you don't mind, a little slower. I'm not as spry as I used to be. All right. I am the very model of a modern Unitarian, far broader than a Catholic, Hindu, Jew, or Presbyterian. I know the world's religions and can trace their roots historical, from Moses up to Channing, all in order categorical. I'm very well acquainted, too, with theories theological. On existential questions, I am always wholly logical. About most any problem, I am teeming with a lot of views. I'm full of fine ideas that should fill our church's empty blues. We're full of fine ideas. You sing. Church's empty pews, we're full of fine ideas that can fill. Church's empty pews, we're full of fine ideas that can fill. Our church's empty pews. Surely you can sing more than that. I quote from Freud and Jung and all the experts psychological. I'm anti-nuke. I don't pollute, I'm chastely ecological. In short, in matters spiritual, ethical, material, I am the very model of today's religious liberal. In short, in matters spiritual, ethical, material, we are the very model of today's religious liberal. That's better. We don't judge. I use the latest language. God is never Father or the Lord, but ground of being, source of life, or almost any other word. I never pray, I meditate, I'm leery about worshiping. I serve on 10 committees, none of which accomplish anything. I give to worthy causes, and I drive a gas-conserving car. I have good UU principles, although I'm not sure what they are. I'm open to opinions of profound or broad variety, unless they're too conservative or smack of righteous piety. Sing! Unless they're too conservative or smack of righteous piety. Unless they're too conservative or smack of righteous piety. Unless they're too conservative or smack of righteous piety. I formulate agendas and discuss them with the best of them. But don't ask me to implement. We leave that to the rest of them. In short, in matters democratic and egalitarian, I am the very model of a modern Unitarian. In short, in matters democratic and egalitarian, we are the very model of a modern Unitarian. Well done.
Oh, I thank Ming Xuan. Thank you so much for playing. And Sue for singing. Wonderful. So now we come to our laughing meditation time. First of all, repeat after me. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. He, he, he. Okay, now, I want you to just brush all those judgments off your shoulder. All that, yeah, 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 all that sort of squirmy, guilty, shaming, judgy sort of thing. Now, when you laugh, your body, whether it's fake or real, doesn't know the difference. Okay? So what happens when you start to laugh, there's this like flood of endorphins that run through your body, whether you're really laughing or just fake laughing. That affects your brain. and increases your blood flow. It changes your nervous system. So, if you would all please stand up. Those that are able, you can do this sitting down as well. And I ask you to stretch your arms above your head. Take a big breath. And then shake your whole body out. Okay, good, 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 good. And we're going to do that again. And this time when we shake out, we're going to bend forward and we're going to go as we go forward. Okay, big breath and okay, and now we're going to clap. We're going to go. Sorry, I got to get you right. One, two, one, two, three. 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 Fantastic. Okay, unzip the top of your head and take your brain out. And you're going to polish up your brain. Just give it a good polish. Excellent. Okay. Yeah. Blow off all the dust. Okay, and just put it down on that invisible pedestal in front of you. And take the floss out of your pocket, and we're going to just floss our brain. There we go. Floss the brain. Lovely. Good. Throw that ecologically away. Take your brain and put it back in your brain, in your head, and zip it back up. Fantastic. And excellent. Okay. So if you would take the invisible cell phone out of your pocket and put it up to your ear, and this is, you've just heard the most funny, ridiculous story ever. Somebody just phoned you up and gave it to you. On the count of three, we hit the end of the story, and you just laugh like it's the best story in the world. One, two, three, and excellent. And now, put that cell phone away. I want you to imagine you're a bunny, so you're not going to be shaking hands. You're going to be going paw to paw here, and you're just going to make contact with somebody and laugh. And somebody else. Once you get Unitarians laughing, you can't get them to stop. Okay. Two more people and then sit down. Oh my goodness. Aren't they though? I'm feeling it. Sounds like Dennis is feeling it too. The art of making fun of ourselves or of experience another making fun of us. It's a double-edged sword. I had a boyfriend once who would give me the Mickey or take the piss. I wasn't quite sure why it was so fun, but he thought it was terribly fun. It's a British term. Okay, so taking the Mickey or giving the Mickey or giving a or taking the piss is a commonwealth, those people that understand British humor. It's you make fun of somebody. But it's a double-edged sword because sometimes if the person doesn't think what's being made fun of is really very funny, then it kind of is hurtful, right? It could be truthful. It could be truthful. But you might not be ready to laugh about that part of yourself. George Carlin. Does anybody know George Carlin? So that's good to see. He was a brilliant social commentator disguised as a comedian. He had his heyday. Let's just pause for a moment so that we can all read this. George Carlin says, "Inside every cynical person is a disappointed idealist." How about another one? "Don't just teach your children to read, teach them to question what they read. Teach them to question everything." Maybe not so much funny, but very Unitarian. And one more. "Trying to be happy by accumulating possessions is like trying to satisfy hunger by taping sandwiches all over your body." It's ridiculous, but truthful. The jokes are appealing when you see them for the truth that they hold, whether you agree with them or not. A little outrage becomes part of that motivation of the joke. One more. "Religion is like a pair of shoes. Find one that fits you, but don't make me wear your shoes." Right? We can get in behind that. There's some truth there. Right? There are shoes that fit us all. But your shoes may not fit mine, my feet. There is a role for the social commentator, the satirist, the comedian, and it's an indication of the social freedom that we have in a democratic society that allows for the proliferation of this form of public social commentary. Think late night American television or Canadian entertainer, comedian Rick Mercer's rants. Brilliant social commentary. George Carlin took on many of the sacred cows of our world, sex, religion, political correctness. If you remember the 7 things you can never say on television, and we don't usually say in church, so I won't name them all. One of the sacred cows of Unitarianism is our inclusiveness. We are very proud to be inclusive, very. So this joke highlights the ridiculous ends to which we can go to include everybody. How many Unitarians does it take to change a light bulb, you may ask, and thank you for asking. The response is, said in a slightly sanctimonious tone, "We choose not to make a statement either in favor or against the need for a light bulb. However, if in your journey you have found that the light bulb works for you, that is fine. You are invited to write a poem or compose a modern dance about your personal relationship with your light bulb and present it next month at our annual Light Bulb Sunday service. There will be, there we will explore a number of light bulb traditions, including incandescent, fluorescent, three-way, long life, and tinted, all of which are equally valid paths to spiritual luminescence." Can I have a ha ha ha? Ridiculous, right? Insightful, critical, truthful, the art of making fun of ourselves. The point being that inclusiveness is a good thing. Personal exploration is a good thing. Belonging to a community that supports you in your exploration or search is a wonderful thing. And we can take it too far. And please know, I am not suggesting that we here at Beacon are taking inclusiveness too far. In fact, there are times when I think we might be unconsciously exclusive. Exclusive being when we think that certain people aren't really Unitarians if they're not, for example, voting for the Green Party or protesting against Kinder Morgan or believing in God or Do you get my point? Can we have a ha ha ha? We do need to own up to our inclusiveness being sometimes exclusive. We often have judgments that we don't even notice when we think, everybody thinks like I do. Red light. We are immediately being exclusive, right? And that in this community, that's definitely not okay. Did you hear the one about the man who was being given a tour of hell by the devil? No. Okay, let me tell you. This is the area where we keep people who have violated the food taboos of their religion, said the devil. Behind this first door are the Catholics. They are the ones who ate meat on Friday. Behind the second door are the Jews. They all ate pork. Behind the third door are the Unitarians. And the man was puzzled, or the woman was puzzled, and asked this question, and the devil clarified, shaking his head sadly, these are the Unitarians who didn't partake of tofu, hummus, or free trade coffee. Oh, groaning is good. It's all good to groan. That's a groaner. Is it true that all Unitarians eat tofu, hummus, and drink fair trade coffee? Well, no. Many, otherwise it wouldn't be a funny joke, but definitely not all. But it does hold up that we have certain values as Unitarians. As a community, we try to respect the environment by eating lightly and living with awareness of where our food comes from, wishing not to exploit those people who harvested it and transported it to us. But theologically, it is amazing here that this joke has the devil in hell telling us what we are morally weak in. Yes, it's true. There is a devil. And he sits on our shoulders and judges us. He is our own judgments, our moralistic selves. Oh, yes, it's true. Unitarians are very moralistic. Do you know what the Unitarian Trinity is? No. It's not the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the classic Christian Trinity. The Unitarian Trinity is a reduce, a reuse, and recycle. But dumb. And we're going to be talking more about that later in this month when we face our addiction to plastic. Unitarians like to talk a lot. Have you noticed that? Maybe a little. Did you hear the one about the UU Monastery? When you arrive at the UU Monastery, they tell you, all are welcome. And to allow for peaceful contemplation, you must take a vow of silence. Unless you think of something that's really, really good, and then it's expected that you would share it with everybody. We do need to talk, and we have a lot of opinions, and we like to share those opinions with people. Which is why we have occasionally been described as Quakers who can't keep silent. Or Quakers with ADHD. Now, why is that funny? Well, because Quakers and Unitarians, they actually, in terms of their commitment to social action, are very close in how they want to not believe something so much as put their thoughts, their beliefs into action. Social justice is very important to both Quakers and Unitarians. I've lost my place. But they differ, thank you. But they differ significantly in their Sunday worship practice. I don't know if you know this, but when Quakers get together, they sit in silence together. sometimes for the whole time that they are together. And the only time they speak is when the Holy Spirit moves them to speak. Whereas Unitarians like to shout out, give instructions, remind you when you've forgotten something. And maybe we talk too much. Maybe there are times when we need to listen a little bit more. That's when we find out that maybe the person who we assume thought just like us thinks something very, very different. And if we don't shut up, we're never going to listen and hear that and discover that. We love our questions. We love our questions so much. We even have a line in a favorite song that ends with, maybe to question truly is the answer. Or maybe to question truly is the answer. We are proud to teach our children to ask questions, and we are proud to be lifelong learners. And you've probably heard this one. A young woman walks into a fabric store and asks the clerk for 9 yards of diaphanous material. The clerk says, "What are you making?" And the Unitarian says, "I'm getting married, and I'm making a negligee for myself as a present for my husband." And the clerk says, "But 9 yards of material? That's way too much for a negligee." And the woman says, "Oh, yeah. I know, but I'm marrying a Unitarian, and they would much rather seek than find." Yep, we are proud seekers. The flip side of being committed seekers is that some Unitarians have a hard time deciding what it is that they believe. A Unitarian prayer might go something like this. Dear God, if there is a God, if you can save my soul, if I have a soul, we raise up doubt to a holy level. When one Unitarian was heard saying to another, "I'm not even sure if I am a Unitarian." Oh, and the light goes off. I suppose that removes all doubt. If there was ever a room with a door that marked no exit, it's that room where doubt itself is the answer. Surety is not a Unitarian virtue. We praise doubt in readings and songs. Being unsure becomes who we are. From the UU joke site called Laughing at Ourselves, for the members of any religion, to have a few doubts is normal. To have many doubts is a crisis of faith. To have constant doubts is a conversion to Unitarianism. We could all do with a little foolishness every once in a while, or a fool. George Carlin was a modern-day fool. Here's a different kind of fool from the tarot card. George Carlin spoke the truth, poked fun at sacred cows, appealed to, believe it or not, our common sense, our conscience. And he is a necessary, and fools like him, part of our community. The fool is used by Shakespeare in King Lear, in much the same way as I describe George Carlin. Lear's fool is a powerful metaphor for the truth, for compassion, and ultimately for real love. Very briefly, if you don't know the story, King Lear demands that his 3 daughters prove to him that they love him. The first 2 use huge flowery language, and he eats it all up. The 3rd daughter, who is the only one who really truly loves him, from her own integrity, can only speak plainly. And this enrages her father, the king. Lear's fool, who is his constant companion, watches this happen. begins to see that King Lear is losing his mind because his being is being ripped apart between what he knows to be true and what he, the illusion of truth. The fool sees what is really happening. King Lear pushes the fool away, blocks his words, and yet the fool doesn't give up because he truly loves the king to the point where he is banished. And the king alone, without his conscience, without that voice of truth beside him, descends into madness. The more the lost, more lost the king becomes, the more separated he becomes from his true self, the fool begins to take up that inner voice of love and truth and reason. A different fool, a different king. Everyone loses their way sometimes. We all have times when we get disconnected from our own truth, our own heart, from what we know is the right path for ourselves. We can so easily get caught up in the perspectives and the values that are not really our own. Power, in particular, is a sort of madness that can overwhelm or blind us from our own deeper core values. It's then that we need to be reminded by a friend or a fool of who we really are and what our lives are truly about. So when life seems to be going sideways for you, maybe it's really the trickster who's come to mess you up a little bit, to save your life, to help you get back on track, so that you can see clearly what is important. In his book, the St. Francis Holy Fool Prayer Book, the author John Sweeney told this story. I once had this conversation with a colleague while we were planning a worship service for St. Francis of Assisi, also known as the Holy Fool. I can never remember how to spell Assisi. And his friend replied, "Ass is I." And I must have looked confused because he said it again, and this time he shaped his hands like donkey ears as he said ass, pronounced is with a comic emphasis, and pointed to himself on the I. "That," he said, "ass is I." That is how you spell Assisi. That is exactly what St. Francis would want us all to remember. I'm an ass. We're all asses. Just like the ones that St. Francis preached to in the gate. And I promise you, you'll never spell Assisi wrong again. May all the fools say I. I am a fool. I am a holy fool. May we all be met by a holy fool this day. Can I have a hee hee hee? And a ho ho ho? And a ha ha ha? Referring to myself now. This fool is a holy fool. This fool has a faith in you. This fool has a faith in nature, in rebirth, renewal. This fool has a faith that is a hope for you and me and our world. This fool has a faith that winter will turn to spring and that every living thing will be reborn and that one day we will all be free. Happy Easter, joyous Passover, merry April Fool's Day. May the spring be sprung all over the world. Amen.